Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Do you remember, and this is just totally off the subject, do you ever remember when you did that, or when you came and you were part, you recognized that you were part of the church, that something, whether it was as a teenager, as a small child, that you felt that you belonged here? And I think about those times when the kids come up here, you're trying to let them know that they belong here. You know, Jesus said, let them come to me. And we can learn so much from watching them and just learning from them. If you would open up your bulletins, you'll find a copy of this morning's sermon notes, which I hope will help you in our study together. Psychologists tell us that all of us in our life story face three central questions. There are three questions that are always kind of guiding and shaping what we do and how we perceive ourselves. The first one is kind of that purpose. Why am I here? What am I created for? What am I supposed to be doing? It's the idea of understanding, what is my purpose? Why is life here? What is God doing in the world that I was created in this time, in this place? What am I doing? Why am I here? It's the idea of purpose. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the character of God. How is God revealed in the Old and the New Testament that help us answer those questions? Why am I here? It's a question about purpose. There's also, where is my life going? What kind of legacy? When you think of the end of your life, what is the purpose of it all? Where will you end up? What is the direction? What is the path that you're on? There's a famous quote that kind of goes, it doesn't depend on your intentions, but on your direction that determines your destination. What direction are you headed? What path are you on? Where am I going? What is my life all about? That's an idea of direction, of where are you going. And then the last one is, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? What am I responsible for? What does God expect of me? What am I going to be held accountable for? What do I have to answer for? It's the idea of I'm responsible at some level for the direction of my life. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the character, and we talked that in Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah says, God is the potter, and I am the clay. God is shaping me. Through all of the circumstances, through people, through relationships, my life is being shaped and molded. And for those of you that have had teenagers in your life, or you once were a teenager, you know that you reach a point in your life where friends and peer pressure begin to dominate the discussion of how people see themselves. And God in that moment said, but I am the potter. I am shaping your character through all of the circumstances. And we began to wrestle about, who is the authority in your life? What dictates how you see yourself, what your purpose is? Sometimes we kind of get fed up with the Nike kind of cliches about what we're supposed to be doing and who we are and how we're supposed to look. What did God call us to do? There's a sense of authority and a sense of accountability. In Psalm 23, David writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or you might change that around and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. There's this identity of changing, of recognizing that God has a purpose in our lives. That God is our shepherd, there's a sense of security, but that life is going somewhere. If God is our shepherd, he's leading us somewhere. What is guiding your life? Where is your path? What is guiding and comforting you? And that even in the darkest of times, his rod and his staff, they'll comfort us. They'll guide us and shape us. last week we recognized that sometimes people are so broken and they're so disconnected from God that they're searching for living water. They're searching for meaning and significance. And Jesus says in John chapter 4, he said, I am living water. You know, there's that image of Jesus encountering the Samaritan woman at the well and in the heat of the day, trudging, carrying these heavy water pots and saying, this is what life is all about. And Jesus said, but if you'll let me be a part of your life, it'll be like living water. It'll just well up joyfully and abundantly and overflowing into your life and to those that are around if you will just allow me to be a part of your story. And she went away joyfully sharing with those in the community. This morning we're going to look at another very famous I am statement of Jesus. Jesus coming and talking about being living bread, the bread of life, about nurturing, about that sense of substance. And he uses this imagery because bread in the early church was about earthiness, about taking something that was very physical, about wheat and bread, the staple of our diet, and saying, but it can be living, it can be transformational. Something that is very, the core of our substance can change the direction of our life. In all of these statements, Jesus is basically saying, I am everything you need, and everything you need, I am. There's a sense of our connection to who God is. And so we're going to look at a passage about Jesus talking about being the bread of life, the substance, the deepness. After having that refreshing water, there's a time of going deeper, of feasting on something that is even deeper and gives more meaning. And as we look at this passage, it's from John chapter 6, beginning with the 28th verse. Look at the question that prompts Jesus' discussion about living bread. And ask yourself, are you ready to feast at that deeper level? Are you ready to chew on some bread and to really grow stronger and more purposeful in your relationship with God? Let us now begin our time together by sharing what is on the screen. This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own. And I know he has a purpose for my life. Listen to the question that people have been asking Jesus. Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. And so they ask him, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for continuing to use us and to Share your joy with us. Help us this hour to grow deeper in your spirit and in knowledge of you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Carl Jung was a Swiss psychologist, and for many years he encountered people and he saw them as they really were with all of the problems that they came to him, and he finally came to a conclusion, and he said, the central neurosis of the human species, of all of us, is a lingering emptiness, a void, if you will, without purpose and without meaning, and our desire to be filled, with something that overcomes that emptiness and gives us and our lives a sense of purpose and a sense of meaning and a sense of direction. And yet in our own culture, if you haven't noticed, in our own culture, we love to be focused on what is easy and what is fast. Our desire for fast food is just an indication of the lives that we kind of live. It's almost like a metaphor for how we're living our lives. Several years ago, there was a guy that made a movie, kind of a short story, kind of a movie of his life called Supersize Me. I don't know if you've heard about it. And what he did is for a whole month, he ate nothing but McDonald's food. What would it be like to eat nothing for a whole month but fast food? How's that sound to you? Well, it didn't work out real well. It turned out that over the course of a month, by eating nothing but McDonald's fast food, Big Macs, quarter pounders, whatever, in a single month, he put on 25 pounds. His cholesterol went through the roof, and the doctors told him, if you don't get off of this diet, you're going to be dead in a couple of months. Cartoon several weeks ago, I saw a man was over there, and he said, my life looks like a fast food restaurant. I'm cheap, fast, and easy. And I wonder sometimes if that's not what we gravitate towards. What is easiest? What is the simplest? What is the most pleasing for us right now? And in the process, we sacrifice so much about our health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, and sometimes even our physical health, because we choose what is easy, trying to fill that void without doing the hard work necessary. The disciples gather around Jesus. Jesus has been teaching, he's been talking about who he is, and they said, they've kind of come to that place in a relationship, and they said, okay, but tell me, what is it I'm supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing to do the will of God? And he said, to do the will of God is to believe in the one that he sent. Believing in the one that he sent does not mean just a mental agreement. Yes, I believe Jesus. I think that's what it says on the marquee. But to allow it to change the course of your life. To believe so deeply that you begin to alter the things that you do, the things that you say, that it begins to shape your very character, that your character is different. Believing in Jesus and following Jesus means that your life will become significantly different than what it was before. It's kind of like, if you don't mind the metaphor, it's kind of like getting married. Your life will be substantially different before getting married than it was after getting married. It should, anyway. Your habits and your conditions should be markedly different. When you say, I believe in Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus, your priorities and your perspective will be significantly different after that statement than it was before. And so the disciples gathered and they said, what must we do? And he said, believe in me, follow me, model what I do what I do, and say what I say. In the process, they said, but give us some sign, like Moses. Moses fed us from manna. And he said, no, that was God giving you an example. Bread from heaven. That was an image of what is about to unfold. He said, I'm the living bread. I'm the one it was pointing to. I am the bread of life. If you're willing to go deeper, if you're willing to be filled up, to be nourished, if you're willing to be full and overflowing, then feast on this bread. when Jesus tells us, and he uses this image, I am the bread of life, he's saying a couple of things to us. He's saying, first of all, there is an emptiness in all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, male, female, slave or free, we have hunger. We need relationship. We need to answer those questions. Why am I here? What am I doing? Am I on the right path? What does God expect of me? We have hunger for those questions, for those answers. I love this quote by Mother Teresa. He said, even the rich are hungry for love, being cared for, being wanted for, having someone to call their own. Everybody needs relationships. Now, we can, for time being, trying to feast on other things, on fast food, of career, of popularity, of the applause of other people, of looking the part. We can feast on that for a while, but it's like cotton candy. As soon as it's over, we're on to something else. We need something else. Jesus says, feast on true bread that has come down from heaven. As a matter of fact, we hear this over and over again in Matthew chapter 6. What does Jesus tell us? He said, isn't life more than just possessions and power? Isn't it more than food and the body, more than clothes? Isn't there something deeper about us than just those simple things? There is a hunger for meaning and for purpose. And Jesus says, I want to give that to you. I want to give you something of substance for you to sink your teeth into. Somebody once said that having an open mind is like having an open mouth. Both of them were meant to bite down on something solid, something that had meaning and purpose. And Jesus said, that's me. That's my life. The first thing that we learn is there's an emptiness in all of us that we have to admit to. The second thing that we come to is that Jesus is offering us a banquet. There is a banquet that is about to be revealed. Jesus saying, if you'll come to me, there is a fullness that you can't even yet imagine, that you're passing by on a regular basis and starving yourself to death. Do you remember the story of Jesus in the temptation in the desert? And Jesus is hungry, and the tempter comes to him and says, well, it's really easy. Turn these loaves into bread and satisfy yourself. And Jesus said, we're not made just for bread, but for every word of God. There is a banquet in the word of God. We were meant to feast on the word. That let God fill you up spiritually. Feast on it. Chew on it. Meditate on it. Let it roam around in the confines of your mind and your spirit, and let it dwell there and let it grow and prosper. Let the word of God chew and let it fill up all of that dark spot places. What is the banquet? It's the word of God that has been given to you. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus constantly uses an image or a metaphor of a wedding banquet, of God preparing a feast and inviting all of his people to come, but they would not come because they were too busy, they had other things to do, they had other expectations, their schedule or business took them away. And he said, and yet I call all those that will come. And I want to ask you this morning, as Jesus invites all of us to feast on this bread, are we too busy? Do we have other things that get in the way, other schedules, other expectations? We just don't have time. And Jesus says that void will always remain. Feast on the true bread, the banquet that has been revealed. And finally, he tells us that when we share that bread, we have a gift that we can give to others. We have something that is worth being shared. In the New Testament, in the early church history, bread was the common staple of a meal. And that meant that when you gathered together, what did you do? You broke bread together. It was a sign of hospitality. It was a sign of community. It was a sign of belonging together. And when we have the bread of life, we have something to share. We have something to give to others. Not because it's out of guilt or out of remorse, but out of true hospitality and friendship. We have experienced the fullness of God's grace, and we want to give it away. We want to share it. When we deal with what's in it for me, when we talk about nourishing ourselves, that's a physical need. But when we start talking about how do we take care of others, that's a spiritual connection. How do we reach out to others? as we gather as a community, we share not because we have everything that we need, but because we know with compassion the needs of others. We know what it's like to be in want. We know what it's like to grieve and to be sorrowful. We know what it's like to go through hard times. We know what it's like to be hungry. And so we give out of our abundance that the bread of life can continue to be shared. This morning, as we think about God calling us to do His will, to be a part of His family, are you ready to chew on the nourishment, the fullness of what God has, to go deeper, to chew on that word, to be filled up, and then to share it joyfully and abundantly, to be full and satisfied and content, so that when those questions come, who am I? I'm a child of God. Where am I going? To the kingdom of God that has been prepared for me. What should I be doing? Sharing the truth with anyone and everyone. The love of God is given for you in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, we gather this morning on the sacred Sabbath to celebrate your love and your generosity and your grace. Help us, O God, to embrace the truth of your life and your gift. In Jesus' name, amen.